We're talking money matters pertaining to you. And I mean, legitimately, you, not the person around you, not your spouse, not your background, not even your statement and your bank account. Although I do think the two kind of speak together. We're talking about money personalities. I know you've done a personality test that tells you you're extroverted, you're creative, whether it's the DISC test or the Enneagram, or you've done, I know there's different type of strengths test and personality tests. You've done love languages, so you know you're a person of words of affirmation and gifts and physical touch. But what about your money personality? What if it could be that the way that we handle money is a reflection of certain personality traits that we share? Well, joining us this Monday afternoon on the show to help us understand the reality of money personalities, but also to understand how understanding those personalities can inform us of some of the weaknesses, but also some of our strengths, is Palesa Lengolo, who's an award-winning author and stockfell expert. She joins us yet again. Palesa, it's good to have you back to Drive 326.
Thank you so much for having me. Always great speaking to you and your listeners.
Always great to be chatting to you, Palesa, especially in matters of doing better decisions, making better decisions, rather, when it comes to our finances. But let's talk about money personality traits. And this is something that we don't hear often. But tell us about that. How strongly do you see that these money habits and these money personalities exist and actually influence some of the realities people face when they get to month end and try to make sense of their finances?
Very strongly, hey. I think we take for granted how much our relationship with money is actually linked with our personality. So personality traits shape how people view risk, how we view security, how we view reward. For example, some naturally prefer security, that would be saving consistently, while others are more adventurous, which are risk takers like investors. Even when people earn the same salary, their money outcomes differ largely because of their personality-driven habits. So your personality does really drive and influence how you relate to money.
Are there like, and I know this is like a broad question and similar to how one will do these strength tests, and there's like 15 different types of strength tests, and one will give you three types, the other will give you 300 different types. But in your experience, do you find that there are some sort of certain and recognized money personality types that people tend to fall into that might kind of categorize them, so to say?
Yes, definitely. And they are the typical. I'll tell you just five. There's a few of them. We've got a personality trait, the saver. This is a person who prioritizes security, avoids unnecessary spending. That's a money personality called the saver. And then the typical one again, the spender. This is a person who enjoys lifestyle purchases and instant gratification. Typically, this personality falls under the money personality, the spender. Then we've got something that usually is in between, which is the avoider, which this is a person who doesn't want to deal with finances, procrastinates when they have to budget, when they have to save, or even when they have to spend. Like, they just don't want to deal with finances. They want to live in their bubble while finance affects our everyday life. But there is a personality like that. Then we've got the planner or / investor. This is a money personality where a person is very future focused. They budget well, they seek their money to grow, they're always looking for opportunities on making their money grow. This is the investor or the planner money personality. And then the last one I would like to touch on is the risk taker personality. This is somebody who's willing to invest in bold opportunities, opportunities that don't guarantee return, but they know if the return would come would be great. This would be somebody who invests in property, in startups, in their shares in the JSE or New York Exchange. So that is their risk taker. So typically these are the most common money personality, which is you either, and most of the time people are two or more of these personalities. You can be the saver and the avoider. You can be the spender and the investor, or you can be the risk taker. And how you relate will be the money personality that you are identifying with.
You know, Palisa, when I did a personality test many years ago and many times after, with each different category, they'll always say, okay, for if you are this type of personality or this Enneagram number or whatever, they'll always tell you, this is what this person is. These are their strengths, and these are they don't even say weaknesses anymore. Opportunities. Yeah, that's the right word for growth and really improving, or areas that they could miss. Are there certain things like that? Because I'm listening to you now, and I'm sure I'm not the only person who's shaking their head going, oh my goodness, that sounds like me. And at the same time, it could feel like that one personality is the only one that's right, all the others are wrong. Are there certain strengths and opportunities of improvement in all these different categories? And for example, especially the ones that usually get the bad reputation, for example, the avoider or the spender.
So there are. So the traits like being impulsive, experience, are usually leans towards spending. But those are not necessarily all bad things, as it. I mean, being open to a new experience is a good trait. And it can fall under, when I want a new experience, I save for it in order to spend it later. So there is a mix, and I like the example around the personality traits. For example, I'm an ambivert because I've got personalities that are very introverted and personalities that are very extroverted. So I've got traits from both. So you can have traits from being the saver and being the spender, but you have to be smart about it, and you have to have a limit. And traits like being cautious and being risk averse, you're leaning towards being the saver personality. But context matters. Someone may save on a day on daily expenses, yet they splurge on big ticket items like fashion or item. So the important thing, whether there's a con or pro, is to strike a balance. When your money personality is a spender, and in order to manage that, don't be an oversplurge. When you are spending, make sure you are spending on things you have budgeted for, you have saved for. That way, you're not just a splurging. When you are a saver, you don't mean you mustn't eat. You mustn't buy groceries because you are saving every cent. So balance is very important. Save and still be able to have room to breathe, still be able to enjoy your hard-earned money. Same with the risk taker. Don't go in any opportunities that is a potential of return and then lose all your money. So to answer your question is that in all the money personalities, just like everything else, too much of everything becomes a problem. You do need to manage a balance regardless of which personality you fall in.
I think you've said something that is making two groups of people happy. Speaking to the spender, saying, hey, go ahead and spend, which will make them smile. But like you said, but do it within the budget, what you've already budgeted for. And even for the saver, it's not to say don't not eat anything. Actually go on and enjoy the money that you've earned, but do it responsibly. But Lisa, before we wrap up our time together, how much of upbringing and environment influences these personalities, where, you know, again, I'm using this as a mirror towards our own personal you know, strengths and weaknesses, and our personality test is influenced by the people we are. Some of it is by upbringing, but how much of money personalities are influenced by our upbringing and environment?
That is such a good question, to be honest with you, because it literally really determines how we relate to money, how we got brought up, because there are things that we need to learn and unlearn when it comes to upbringing. If you grew up under where money, we were told that is scarce, you're gonna thinking money is hard to get, if you have got abundance of it, you're gonna still have the scarcity mindset. Then you're gonna have to unlearn that and say, actually, I've got money. I don't know how to do. I've heard people literally saying, I like watching my bank account full, and I'm scared to spend that money because I'm so scared that once I spend it, I will not be able to make it back.
Sure.
That is how my upbringing can really influence your upbringing. So you do need to know what's your money story from your upbringing and really be honest about it, that okay, I didn't grow up maybe with lots of money. Now I have it. This is how I need to manage it. Let me self-develop myself, learn, read, follow the right people, and in order to be able to really unlearn my upbringing, if the upbringing was not great, and if it was great, to apply those things, and even to your kids, teach them new ways of how to relate with your money. So you almost have to have a money script. How money is handled in your home will literally can change the next generation.
Sure, man. This is, and I think I'm taking notes for me and growing up and reflecting, but also it's so true what you're saying, that you can rewrite it for your children. But listen, I'm unfortunately out of time, but I'm going to put you in a really difficult position and ask you to answer this. I've got three questions for you, but you can answer in one sentence only. There's a couple that's listening right now, and they're both spenders, both spending personalities. What do you say to them?
I will say they hold each other accountable in terms of the other one, or hold the other one accountable that, hey, now we need this thing, let's pay for it so that we can spend on it. So the other one really needs to step down from the spending horse. The other one can stay there so that they can hold each other accountable in terms that we do want to spend, but we want to save for it. We want to budget for it.
Let's speak to the couple where there's two avoiders, which is in itself quite difficult.
Oh my goodness, that is quite a harder one, because that now literally means you need to unlearn being avoidance, because the most important thing to remind yourself as an avoider is that every decision in life is a financial decision. The time you are spending right now listening to this is money. It's 5 minutes is accounted for. So you could have done something that had made you money. This insight was made with money, and if you're avoiding that, you're avoiding life. Every decision, financial decision, is the most important thing in order to get out of your avoider personality.
Vanessa is fetching every single one of us this afternoon. Vanessa, thank you so much, but also thank you for making us realize that this is something that is so much bigger than just limited to our little world, and it is bigger, and it is okay. This does exist, and help is available to be able to get out of there. Thank you so much, Vanessa, for chatting to us.
Thank you for having me.
Award-winning author and Stockville expert, Palesa Lengolo, joining us this afternoon.